I went to Rudy once and I said, "You know, Rudy, I feel like that deep." And he said, "Put your fingers together." He was very clear to show me that I was essentially an incredibly shallow person. I didn't think I was a shallow person. I thought I was perceptive and deep feeling, committed human being, but he saw right through all that. He really was very clear about that I was operating almost totally on the surface. And I didn't know what to make of it. I was kind of ashamed of it on some level to think that I had an illusion about myself as a deep, perceptive person. But I realized over the years that he was very accurate, not just about me, but about so many of us, that we tend to operate on a very superficial level. We claim we want something out of life. And it's usually a rather relatively abstract thing like happiness, contentment, success, satisfaction, fulfillment, all of those words. But the claim versus the action to get them is often very disparate. I kind of describe in the introductory class the third eye as a place of kind of wanting things, and the heart chakra as a place of desiring things, and then the navel chakra as a place of need. And that in order to become effectual in the world, you need want, wish, and need to function. And that so many people that I know have a kind of a want, a kind of a wish, and in many cases, very little need. Or if they do have a need, they don't engage it. They tend to get by. People get by. And the getting by, the easy floating on the surface of life, is for many people an attractive way of living. It doesn't have to deal with a lot of profound understanding about life. It doesn't have to deal with really deep feelings about life. And you don't have to engage life so much that you might actually find pain or frustration or obstacles. You just kind of go through. Now, that doesn't describe everybody. And it may not describe any of you who are here or listening or watching. But it might. The secret, so many secrets in practice, or so many people talk about secrets, but certainly one of the great elements in spiritual and human development is called depth. Finding depth in yourself. Learning how to go deeper. So many of the riches of the world are hidden below the surface. Certainly things like the energy, petroleum that we need, oil to run so much of what we do. Things like diamonds, buried deep, deep, deep within the earth. The pressure, the enormous pressures of the depth surrounding them is what gives the diamonds such extraordinary clarity and brilliance. On the surface, they're coal. They just look like coal, kind of black and dense. The idea of going deep used to perplex me enormously as a student. How do I go deep? How do I get there? And I know I used to meditate and I would sit and take a breath and try to go deeply into the various chakras, particularly the heart chakra, And I would just try to sit in there and try to feel my way inward. And over the course of time, I began to discover that there was a journey to be had. Rudy's teacher, Swami Nityananda, said, go into your heart and roam. And I started to find that as I went inside it, there were these riches. I would call them riches of feeling. I would go deep inside, and I started to find these things that were sparkling, sweet, aromatic, joyful, even places of incredible bliss, pools, if you will. I discovered these huge pools, lakes, even maybe oceans of joy floating deep inside me. And even as I went into those, something would drop out underneath them and there was something greater, bigger. And I kept being surprised. I kept going deeper and deeper, not because I wanted to, but because the attraction became so powerful. The pull toward depth became something that I hungered for. But in order to go there, I had to let go of the familiar, the comfortable, the superficial assurance that I would be okay. I was always kind of afraid on my journeys and yet drawn to them. And in time, I really started to feel myself entering depth. I think I've told you this before, but Rudy once said to me, Bruce, when you first came to me, you were like diarrhea. Now you're a solid turd. And I thought that was such a compliment. I was so grateful to have arrived at solidity. But then the journey of my real expansion as a spiritual being took place after Rudy left, so I never had anybody to come and tell me how I was doing, really. But I could feel how I was doing. I could feel I was entering into places of extraordinary richness, clarity, simplicity, essence, if you will. And that was just in my heart. In my mind, I started to see things. I started to see life. I started to see, a little bit like those guys who write columns in the newspapers or editorialists, you know, I started to look at life like, oh, this kind of critical thinking. It isn't just what it appears to be. There's something underneath the surface of that. There's a deeper truth to it. And even under that truth, there's a deeper one. And the deeper I would go, the more I would see a kind of collective truth, that everybody has a truth, that everybody has a position, that everybody in some way is right and everybody in some way is wrong. And I would begin to look at all of that and go, that's the human condition. I'm looking at human striving, human understanding, human need, human experience, and I'm seeing it. I'm getting it. It's making sense to me. It creates an enormous amount of understanding. And then with the open-heartedness, it creates a kind of compassion for what's understood. The navel chakra, the place of need or action or manifestation, really, started to come alive for me after about 10 years of studying with Rudy. It took a long time to energize that space, to even enter it, really. And he tried everything to provoke that space for me. He knew I wanted to be a writer, but I wasn't writing. I wanted to write, but I would end up drawing. I couldn't get words to form. I couldn't get the stories I wanted to tell. And so Rudy said, here, here's 12 songs or 15 songs that I wrote. Turn them into a musical. I had no clue how to do it. And they weren't great songs. Some of them were okay, but they weren't great. And they were all disparate. And I kept feeling, how do I weave these into a show? But I don't think Rudy cared. I think all he cared about was that I engage this space and begin to make something happen, to produce something in the world. And it was the beginning. it's the thing that started to generate what became an absolutely wonderful career, a career of putting stuff into the world that had, you know, it's not great literature, but it had content, it had some depth, it had something to communicate to the world around it, and some of it endures, some of it actually goes on to this day, that the stories are still unfolding. And that's a really beautiful thing. They're remaking one of my movies. The play Ghost turned into a musical, which is turning into another thing now, is a different kind of musical, a kind of, we call chamber or acoustic musical, but it's a very different retelling of the story. This life that came out of my belly, in a way, is still producing something that feeds and nurtures my psyche and my soul. So I have these deepening, wonderful opening spaces inside that are so alive. And then at some point, this energy came and kind of took away everything that was mine personally. I no longer was a Bruce character who had depth. I was depth. I was the depth of being and realized that's all I had ever been. And that Bruce was an avenue toward depth. And that each one of us is an avenue toward our deeper self. And either you have the courage inside to find that vast thing that you are, that vast existence that you are, or you don't. If you don't, you are in a sense condemned to live the most superficial, dramatic, unresolved melodrama of human experience imaginable. And that's what most people do. And I hear from people regularly about their melodrama. I sit with people and they tell me the same story year after year, decade after decade, of their struggle, their anger, who did them wrong, when, what didn't work, why life didn't treat them well, why this happened. It goes on, and there is no effort in many people to go beneath the surface and to dive deep, because diving deep is the way toward the release from your personal drama, from your personal excuse, if you will, to be a very, very dysfunctioning and unhappy human being. Who wants an excuse to be that? Well, more people than you want to imagine. What is it that motivates the journey toward depth? What is it that keeps you from swimming on the surface, from enjoying the real, liberating ocean of being that you are? Well, fear is a good one. Lack of knowledge, nobody even telling you that there's a place to go. Satisfaction with very little, or being totally involved in the surface distraction. Surface distraction is really where most of us live. Not only do we live in surface distraction, life caters to it. It gives us television and movies and music and so many different things to keep us involved in other things. The great stuff, the really great literature, the great film, the great music, the great anything, it achieves greatness because it has depth. Because you start to read a novel that takes you into a place you've never been before, that goes deeper and deeper into the human condition. And for many people, reading novels is the only access point they have to the depth of themselves. But then, of course, they're entering the depth through somebody else, through another person's story. So a lot of people keep going back to depth through artifice. But it's okay, because it's still depth, but it's not your own depth. Music. You listen to great music, and what does it do to you? You sit there, first of all, you're sitting still and quiet, usually, or maybe driving. But this music just starts to go in, and it goes deeper and deeper, and it starts to touch emotions. And these emotions start to open up, and they start to reveal pools of depth in you that you didn't even know were there. And suddenly, if you're lucky, you fall into one of them, and you're just going down and down and down and going, oh, and it's so exquisite. And you go, wow, what a gift. And great theater, when you go to great theater or you see great art, you know, suddenly you're just taken over by beauty. And beauty is one of the things that arises from depth. Beauty has superficial resonance, but its core being is way, way down inside you. Finding the way to depth is crucial, but what if nothing tells you to do it? What if nothing encourages you to do it? Well, one of the really complicated gifts of human life is called suffering. Suffering and pain. One of the things about real suffering and real pain is that it has depth. It comes from places we do not want to visit. But when it hits you in a really fundamental way, and if you watch enough news at night, you see people getting hit by it, they have two reactions. One, numb themselves totally to that world, or two, unavoidably enter it. The horrible and wonderful thing about pain and suffering is it takes you into a deep, deep space. And actually, after you have taken that ride and suffered your way into it, you start to discover somewhere at the deep, deep core of that suffering, something is there. Unnameable, exquisite knowing. Presence. It's healing. It embraces you. It comes up slowly and gently and takes you in. And even though you are in a state of profound loss or grief or suffering, you are being held. And you would not have found it if you hadn't felt that loss, that pain, that sadness. It was a necessary ingredient for many people. It's how we get there. You understand, once you reach profound depth, that pain and joy are the same thing, that love and hate, that all the dualities of life all come together into this pool of oneness, this place of absolute unity, and that it's all one thing. It's one thing. And there's no you separate from it. You are that one thing. Whatever that possibly could mean to you, you are that thing. That thing is vast, infinite, absolute, total, and you are that. It is erupting as we speak into what appears to be multiplicity. There's a you seeing it, there are other people observing you seeing it, and we get this incredible superficial sense of an us and an it. And you can get as lost in the us and it as you want to. It's absolutely fine. The world sort of functions according to our superficial need. I said a little while ago in the introductory class that the world is built to deal with our dysfunction. The world embraces our dysfunction. You know, it creates so many different things for us to live by in dysfunction. You know, distraction, aspirin, Tylenol, alcohol, drama, on and on and on. The world functions in our dysfunction. It blows things up and then we rebuild them. It's really fascinating. The superficial version of life is, you know, when you live there, it's a ripping, roaring, fun, horrible experience for everybody. When you go into the depth of your being, first of all, it becomes poetry and literature. It moves beyond the melodramatic into something that has great meaning. And then that meaning starts to go even deeper, and it's not even a personal meaning. It's a meaning of existence itself. It's there for what feels like a purpose. And then even that purpose disappears into something greater that wants to be, that wants to evolve into the world. And then it goes even deeper into a place that doesn't care, that just is, that is so profoundly what it is. And that isness is full of love and joy and sorrow. It's full of everything, but there's nothing distinguishing one from the other. It's a pool of totality, and it is so worth discovering. It's so worth it. Because it's what is. It's what is before all of this manifests. It's out of this thing that we are that all of this comes into being. And your own role in bringing it into being is so extraordinarily important. You have no idea how much you are part of the collective creation of what is. And it's flowing out of you. You are making it happen every second. You are manifesting life, even in your most unexpected choices, even in your depression, even in your wanting to just lay back for the afternoon. That's all exactly what's wanted. It's all wanted. It's manifesting because of you, and you are as much part of the creation as anyone or anything else. It's one singular thing turning into many multiple things, creating all of what you see, what you hear, what you think, what you feel, what you believe. This is you. It's what you are. You can know what you are from the thinnest little, tiny little surfacey quality, or you can know in depth. It's really so interesting. You know, I started coming to all this just watching some of our politicians talking, and watching the level of superficial awareness and knowledge. Should I name names? You know, I mean, I was listening to Donald Trump. This was the week that he talked about women should be punished for having abortions. And watching his logic working as he's discovering his own thought process, because he doesn't know his thought process. And so he was just watching it reveal itself, and it got him into big trouble because it had been unexamined. It had no depth. It had nowhere to go except into the logic of its own level of awareness, and it created terrible problems. There were people who have gone much deeper than that, the commentators, many people who are able to look at that superficial thing and take it to deeper and deeper places. But what you discover watching the current election cycle, which is fascinating, is how superficiality rules the world in so many levels. And when it starts to go deeper and becomes more profoundly perceived, it actually starts to move toward good judgment. It can move toward rational thought. It can move toward feeling for the welfare of the masses or the people. There's something you so want somebody in a position of leadership to have depth. Why? Because we need to be governed by that in the outer world, and you need to be governed by it in your life. So if the outer world betrays that, as it appears likely to do on some level, then you have to take charge. You have to govern yourself from depth. And if you're not feeling depth, if you're living your story over and over and over and over, suffering the same thing today that you suffered 20 years ago or 30 years ago, you're not doing the work. You're not doing it. And something in you has to wake up to that truth. And it's painful to think, oh, I've been meditating all these years, and I'm still suffering the same stuff. If you're suffering the same stuff, you're not doing it. Your job is to dive deep, to go in, to ask for help, to surrender your story, your drama, your affinity for and attachment to all the stuff that messed you up. Everybody has stuff that messed them up. Everybody. But holding on to that is stupid. Letting go is what meditation, at least what we do here, is about. Let go. Learn to let go. Ask for help to let go. And let that stuff fall away, and then don't bring it back. Don't be the yo-yo yogi who lets it go, brings it back, lets it go, brings it back, over and over and over. That is not smart. That's not intelligent meditative practice. Meditative practice is dive deep, learn to equalize as you go deep, go deeper. Equalize, go deeper. The incredible thing about diving deep in our own being is you don't need oxygen. You don't need something strapped to your back. It's not artificial, it's natural. You can go to the depth of being just as you are. Just sit down and go in and watch what settles in. Is it your mind? A little bit. It starts out with your mind. Your mind is kind of watching and observing, and then suddenly you get to a point where the mind just really kind of is, it's almost like dreamlike. It's a little dormant, and it just doesn't, it can't go further. You know, it's just, it's like Beatrice in Dante's Inferno. You can only go so far with reason and logic, and then you have to kind of let it go behind you, let it go. And the next thing that takes over is feeling. And you go in and it's just feeling. And at first it's feeling nothing. And you go, oh God, I'm not feeling anything. Oh, this is terrible. And then you sit there, don't run away. And all of a sudden this little thing comes up. It's like, oh, it's like a little tiny little blossoming of a flower. This little thing comes up and you go, oh. And you go into that and suddenly it goes, oh. It's like suddenly Beethoven is coming out. And you're listening to that, and it's so deep, and it's so beautiful, and there's a part of you that holds on to that, and wants that, and then there's a greater depth than that. You go down, and you go down, and then music and feeling starts to kind of go away. It's not really going away, but what's happening is something simpler. It's an exquisite, I call it knowing, or presence, that just unfolds, and it kind of is between being and non-being, if you will. It's both there and not there. It's both contained and vast. And your mind isn't there, your feelings aren't there, there's nothing there but what it is. And it just keeps going deeper and expanding, and there's a silence in it, and a stillness, and a beauty, and a clarity, and an absoluteness, and you just... It's a little bit like being extinguished. The negative version of that is annihilated, but extinguished, blown out. And there you are, nameless, without size, because you're either infinitely vast or infinitely small, and there's no way to know because your mind isn't there. You just are there, and it is, one word to describe it, perfect. Perfect. As it is. And then out of that, suddenly there's a return to the surface, with the miracle being that you're back on the surface, but you haven't lost the depth. You're on the surface, connected to what you are. And there's this extraordinary vision of everything that has arisen from that. And yes, it's still seeing itself through your eyes, and hearing itself through your ears, and knowing itself through your breath, but all of that comes up, and you realize with such awareness that you are the witness to the miracle of what has arisen from that space. Life. So, I guess all of this is to encourage you to go deep. Find your depth. Don't be satisfied living on the surface. Find the thing inside you that trusts what I'm saying. And I hope you find it. I mean, to me, I only sit here to help you do that. That's all I care about, really. I don't need you, exactly. But I love you, and I would love you to find this thing, because it's a beautiful world that we inhabit, and why should you find yourself floundering on the surface, telling me the same story over and over, when you don't have to? Why? It's such a simple thing. And like I say to everyone who comes to class, I say, look, you know, if you don't find it here, find it elsewhere. I don't care. I don't care where you go. But find this in yourself. It's not, you're not going to find it through me. You can't sit in me and go there. You can't find it in Buddha, even in Christ, you know, and all the great teachers, you know. Yes, you can listen to them, but all they're telling you is what I'm saying. Kingdom of heaven is within. Go within. Dive within. Not within them, within you. Find your way in. Sit quietly. That's all it is. Sit quietly. Go deep. Ask for help to surrender. Go through the deepening of each chakra. And you will find anything and everything you've ever wanted, and a lot more. So So I hope's prayers and good wishes are with you. Any questions? Remember, we're all like this. Just do that. Okay, thank you.